Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, have you ever spent an entire Saturday afternoon cleaning your house? I mean, not just picking things up, but like the deep clean, right? The vacuuming, the dusting, the sorting, the wiping everything down. And you clear spaces that maybe have never been cleaned before, behind the couch or under the fridge, that one drawer. So everybody has that one drawer, right? And you finally get done and you step back and it feels amazing to look at that clean, fresh space. Now, if you have children, you know that it might not stay that way for very long, right? Check this out.
This mom could be the quickest cleaner you'll ever see, but her son might be even faster at making a mess. The second she spots a mess, she's already cleaning it. Toys scattered on the floor, she picks them up in seconds. But right behind her is her son, who is a pro at undoing everything she does. Every time she cleans, he messes it up all over again. She gathers the toys, and he tosses them right back out. She wipes the mirror clean, and he immediately covers it with handprints. It turns into a nonstop race. Mom versus the little mess maker. She speeds up her cleaning and he keeps up with the chaos. And just when she's about to finally sit down and rest, something crazy happens. Now watch closely. Within just a few seconds, the kid manages to create a massive mess all over again.
Now, that's an interesting looking mom, I understand, but I'm pretty impressed by that cleaning technique that they've got. But I don't know if moms or even dads, if you've got that kind of cleaning technique down, but that was pretty impressive. But that's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? We clean it and immediately it gets messy again. See, it's one thing to clean a house, but it's another thing entirely to keep it clean. Because the reality is if nothing changes in what fills the space or the rules don't change or the rhythms of how you're going to keep up your house don't change, the mess always finds its way back. Well, today we're wrapping up our series called Spring Cleaning. We've been spending the last few weeks looking at this topic of spring cleaning, not just about our homes, but letting God into every room of our heart. We started off this series looking at the first key step in spring cleaning, that's inspection. If you remember, we learned that we have to face it if we want God to fix it. The second week, we spend time decluttering, asking the question, what's weighing you down? Those are the sins you remember. Remember those boxes we had out here, the sins that easily entangle us or the things that weigh us down. Last week, we spent time talking about deep cleaning, that there are stains in our lives that only the blood of Jesus can remove. And today, we're asking this big question, what happens after it's clean? Because if we're not careful, things can go right back to the way they were. And here's our big idea for this morning. A clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. It'll happen. Jesus actually talks to us about this in Luke chapter 11, if you've got your Bibles. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Sounds good, right? 26. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. Now, when you read that, this whole interaction might seem a little strange. It's in the context of Jesus sharing these stories, and it started with this person having a demon driven from them and some questions about what was going on there. But like Jesus often does, he's not just talking about the physical removal of demons, what had just happened a few verses before. No, Jesus is using a picture to expose a deeper spiritual reality. He's talking about people who experience a level of change. They've cleaned their house. They, as he said, swept it. Everything was in order. but they never experience real transformation. The house is swept, it's clean, it's in order. Everything looks good, everything looks put together, everything looks better than it did before, but there's one problem. It's empty. The house is empty. And a clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. See, it's clean, but it's empty, and that means the behavior has changed, the habits improve, the outside looks better, but inside, it's empty. There's no relationship with God. There's no filling it with his presence. And that's what Jesus is warning about in this passage. It's not just a description of how you deal with demons or how you exorcise spirits. See, you can clean up your life on the outside and still be empty on the inside. You can experience change, but if you don't establish new rhythms and new patterns, new systems for how your life is going to be filled, things will always return to the way they were. They may be fine for a while, but sooner or later, old habits will creep back in. Some of you might have experienced that before. I know I have. So here's the warning. An empty heart doesn't stay empty. It doesn't just stay there in its state, clean and clear. It doesn't remain neutral. It will get filled. Your life will be filled. The question is, what is it going to be filled with? See, if you don't intentionally fill your life with the right things, the wrong things will move back in. A clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. Last week, if you were here with us, we had these bowls around the room. And I ask you to consider your own sin and the things that God had already forgiven you of, but maybe you were holding on to, were still having a stronghold in your life, and to write them down on that paper and drop them in that bowl. And I know many of you did that and experienced the illustration of those just dissolving, disappearing. And that's a great illustration of what God has done in our hearts, but it can't stop there, can it? Because here's what I think has happened for maybe some of you, because I know it happened for me. And it continually happens for me if I don't check it. The thing that I might confess, the thing that maybe I wrote down in that paper or you wrote down in that paper and dropped in that bowl, God removes it from my life. He's forgiven me of that sin, that stain in my life. Praise God for that. That's the work he's doing. But if I don't fill my life with something else, it's so easy for that same thing I wrote in that piece of paper just to come back in, isn't it? You might have experienced that even this week. The very thing that you ask God, take this out of my life, forgive me for this, and to know that he did. But if we don't fill our hearts with something else will come back in. So what do we do about this? What are these things that want to come back in our hearts? Galatians 5, Paul says that there are really only two things that will fill your life. There's really only two things. We see it in verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's the first option. Sinful nature. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. What you want to do won't happen if you are filled with sinful nature. Verse 18. When you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, he says, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, when your life is empty, your sinful nature will naturally fill that space. That's what happens as a result of the fall. Anger, jealousy, division, selfishness, whatever it might be. You clean your house, you write it on a paper, and it dissolves before you. But if you don't fill it with something else, the sinful nature will fill up the space. Those are the things that naturally try to fill the emptiness in our heart. The shame that you feel, the regret, the thoughts that just say, I'm not worth anything. Or the thoughts that tell you exactly the opposite, I am worth everything. I am the most important thing in the world. If we don't fill the space that had been left, our sinful nature will fill it for us. But then Paul says in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit, this is the second thing that can happen. The two options that you can fill your life with, sinful nature or the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, the goal isn't just to remove sin. It's not just to clean your house, to do a spring cleaning. It's to replace it with the right thing. Because you're either going to fill your space with the flesh or with the Spirit. Or in our spring cleaning terms, we might put it this way: furnish. We've inspected, we've decluttered, we've deep cleaned, and now we need to furnish. What are we going to put in our hearts? Paul says in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, he says. Walk. Not just take a step, but walk. Continue to walk. That isn't about a one-time decision. That's a daily, ongoing. It's about direction. What direction is your life heading? Which way are you walking? Last week, we read that passage in 1 John to live by the Spirit. And we talked about how that's not a one-time thing again. That's an ongoing process. You're going to live your life. We're going to walk in the direction towards Jesus. Which way are you headed? Because you're always moving towards something. But a clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. So as we wrap up our spring cleaning series, I want to give you three things to think about to help you furnish your heart with the right things. The first is to fill your life with the right things. Time with God, reading his word, worship, to worship, grow, to serve, and to go. There's a reason that we care about those things, because those are the things that we should be filling our lives with: rhythms of worship, rhythms of growing, rhythms of serving, and rhythms of going out and sharing his love with the people around us. Because when your life is filled with the right things, there's less room for the wrong things. Now, that doesn't mean that if we just do a lot of good things that we are going to have the heart that Jesus wants. But if we don't fill that space, as we've already seen, something will fill it for us. The sinful nature or the Spirit. So we need to fill our life with the right things. So what does this actually look like for you this week? There's lots of things that it could look like. Just give you some examples. Maybe it means you spend 10 minutes in God's word before you check your phone in the morning. I have tried to make that commitment, and man, it is tough. Which is sad, isn't it? But just spend time with God before I let the things of the world weigh me down. Maybe it means praying on your commute to work or school. Just taking a few minutes to reorient your heart. God, you've made me clean. Help me this morning, today, to be a person who is furnishing my life with the things of you. Maybe it's taking a few minutes before you check your phone or praying on your way to your activities. Maybe it means filling the time that you have that you've been filling with something you know you shouldn't, with others, with spending time in others, a group, the group we talked about already, our Bible study groups or a growth group or time here together with people in a Christian community. What's the old phrase? And the idle hands are devil's playground, right? Sometimes we just have this space and we will naturally fill it with things that we shouldn't. But a clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. So the first thing we can do to furnish our hearts is to fill it with the right things. The second thing is to follow. To follow Jesus daily, to walk with him. That's not living perfect, it's what direction we're headed. Are we following after Jesus, moving towards Christ? Which way are we walking? So think about this for this week. Maybe what's one step closer to Jesus in obedience that you could take today? Just one step this week. Not to overwhelm us. Maybe it means that we forgive someone that's wronged us. Maybe it means like we did last week, we need to confess something again. To acknowledge to God, to agree with him. If you remember what confession is, we talked about last week. It's agreeing with God about the state of this sin. Maybe it's starting a new habit that you know God is calling to you, or ending something that you know is pulling you away from Christ. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a television show. Maybe it's time on the internet. Maybe it's that person that they're not a bad person, but they just draw you away from Jesus. What's one step of obedience that you could take this week to move one step closer to Jesus? How do we furnish our heart? We need to fill it with the right things. We need to follow after Jesus. And third, we need a filter. Filter what you allow into your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart. Filter what goes in. Filter what you allow in because it shapes what flows out. See, not everything deserves access to your life. Not every person, not every habit. Not everything deserves access to your heart. Maybe you need to put a filter on what you watch. Maybe they're not the things we might consider as just as horrible things. You're watching terrible movies or shows that are filled with sinful things. Maybe it is, and maybe you do need to put a filter on that. But maybe it's just something that you scroll by that just pricks your heart in a way that moves you not towards the spirit, but towards the sinful nature. Jealousy, when you see that person, how that person looks, or how they dress, or the vacation they're on. Maybe it's watching the news. Many of us need to put a filter on watching the news, don't we? What's the condition of our heart after we watch that? After we listen to that podcast, after we watch that segment, is it closer to Christ or is it moving away from Christ? Those are really our only two options. Remember what Paul says, you're either gratifying the sinful nature or you're living by the Spirit. We need to filter what we allow into our heart, what we listen to, who we listen to, what our heart dwells on. What are those things that you just think about over and over again? Is it lust? Is it greed? If you're going to guard your heart, you have to put a filter on what gets access to it. See, God has already made you clean if you're a follower of Jesus, but you're responsible for the filter. God has cleaned the house, but don't leave the door wide open. A clean heart that isn't intentionally filled with God's presence will always return to its former mess. Your heart is like that mom in that video, constantly cleaning up the messes. Because unfilled people are easy targets for Satan. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us in that passage in Luke. That if we don't fill our hearts, fill our lives with the right things, the wrong things will fill it for us. You might not want it to. Most of us don't want it to. But it's just what will happen. Unfilled people are easy targets. So we've inspected the house. We've cleared the clutter. God cleaned what you and I couldn't. Now we have to furnish it. We furnish it by filling it with the right things, following after Jesus, and putting a filter on what comes in. So I want to leave you with a question as we wrap up the series. What are you putting back in? In week two, I had these boxes up on the stage, these four boxes. The sin that we needed to get rid of, the trash, if you remember. The good things that we needed to keep. A question mark of what are the things that maybe are holding you back. And then we had these things that aren't sin but are pulling us away from Christ. The question is to look at that last box there. What are we going to keep? What are we going to fill our hearts with? What are we putting back in this clean house? Because an empty heart won't stay empty. And it's not enough just to clean the house. We have to invite the right person in, the Holy Spirit, to live there. See, some of you, you've tried to fix your own life. And maybe you've done some great things to help clean out the clutter. You've cleaned things up. You've even asked God to help you in that. You've tried to be better, but have you actually invited Jesus into your house? Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Maybe today the prayer is simple for you. Come into my heart. Growing up, there was a song we used to sing in Sunday school. I don't know if you grew up in church and sang this little nursery rhyme type song, but it's beautiful. And I remember over and over again singing this song almost every Sunday. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you hear little kids around the church saying, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's a prayer that all of us need to pray, but maybe you need to pray that for the first time this morning. To actually ask God to come in, to fill the space in your heart. He will take care of the cleaning, but you have to fill it back up with him. If you want to do that, if you need to do that, if you want to learn more about what that might look like, I want to invite you after service, come on up here. We'd love to talk with you. If that's not comfortable for you, call the church office, send an email, scan the QR code on the front of the bulletin. But no matter how many times you come to church or how many prayers you pray, how much cleaning you might do in your house, if you don't fill it back up with him, it won't matter. It won't matter because a clean heart that isn't intentionally filled by God's presence will always return to its former mess. That's true for all of us. So you have to invite him into your heart. And as you spring clean your heart, that's the final step, to furnish your heart with the Holy Spirit. It's not just let God remove sin. You have to replace it with something better. If you fill your life with the right things, there's no room for the wrong things. Each week we've been closing with this passage that's kind of served as a theme for this entire series from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. There's a reason we've been saying this verse, because there's a couple truths in this that we need to recognize. Number one, it's him who's doing the work. We've talked about that every week. You can set some things in place and you can intend for the right things, but you can't clean your own heart. Remember, only the blood of Jesus can remove those stains. So you don't have to try harder. There are some things you need to do and things to put in place, like we just talked about, but God does the cleaning. But the second truth that's so profound that we need to understand in this is that if we will follow him, if we will allow him to furnish our hearts, what does he say he will do? He will bring it to completion. That's not you just getting a house that's a little shabby, you know, that's just got some dust bunnies in the corner and you'll just get through life. What he's saying there is he will bring it to completion, fruition, perfection. You can one day have the house that God intended for you, pure and holy in his sight. And you can live in that house among all of us who are doing the same thing in eternity. People made in the image of God who are now so much better reflecting that image. He wants to finish that work in you. He will finish that work in you if you will allow him to. I want us to read this verse again together. And as we did last week, I want you to began a good work in you to begin a good work in me. Let's read this together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to end by praying the rest of this passage over you. Paul goes on and he says this. He says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. I thank you that you have done spring cleaning within my heart. God, I'm not there yet. That is abundantly clear to me every day. None of us are, Lord. But I ask that whether we have done it in this series or whether we just need to be reminded every day or whether we need to start right now, that we would inspect our lives. We would recognize that if we won't admit the things around us, the things that have crowded you out, Lord, that if we won't face it, then you're not going to fix it unless we will face it. And Lord, help us to turn those things over to you as we allow you to inspect, to search our hearts. And Lord, help us to declutter, to get rid of the sins that are weighing us down and the things of the world, Lord. Even the things that aren't wrong but are not helping us. God, help us to recognize what those are. Help us to take out the trash and to let you dispose of it. God, thank you for that. God, we thank you for the deep cleaning you've done in our hearts. For the things that, as we talked about it, even as we shared in communion together this morning, it's a reminder that the blood of Jesus washes us clean, not by our own works, but by your righteousness, Lord, is what makes us be right with you. And so we thank you for that, for doing the deep cleaning of our hearts. And Lord, help us to furnish our lives with the things of you, to fill back up those spaces that we've created with things that draw us closer to you, that help us to follow you. Lord, help us to have filters on our lives, on our mouths, on our eyes, on our ears, on our hearts, so that the things that get in, Lord, will be things that draw us closer to you. God, help us to do spring cleaning, not just in these months, but every day. So Lord, if there's anybody here that has not given their life to you, I pray that that old song that we used to sing would resonate with them, Lord. Into my heart, come into my heart. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. May we be people who are living with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, we thank you and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.